Good morning. Our first reading today is taken from Psalm 40, verses 1 through 11. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the desolate pit, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Happy are those who make the Lord their trust, who do not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after false gods. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. Were I to proclaim and tell of them, they would be more than can be counted. Sacrifice and offering you do not desire, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, here I am, in the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. See, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord. I have not hidden your saving help within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation. Do not, O Lord, withhold your mercy from me. Let your steadfast love and your faithfulness keep me safe forever. Our second reading is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given to you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the partnership of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Here ends our second reading.
I invite you to stand for the Gospel. Reading from the Holy Gospel of John, the first chapter, verses 29 through 42. The next day, he saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the chosen one." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. This is the good news.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to thy sight, O Lord, our light and our Redeemer. Amen. Have you ever identified or noticed, that often how we identify or name something defines our relationship? A woman in a secondhand store or maybe a church rummage sale points to a vase and comments, "What an old piece of junk, how dusty and grimy it is." But another coming in later picks it up, examines the bottom, and buys it. Outside, she excitedly says to a friend, "I found a beautiful piece of Rookwood pottery. It's getting harder and harder to find." It was the same vase, yet the reactions were defined in the name, junk and beautiful Rookwood. The gospel lesson for this morning begins the account of Jesus' baptism with John the Baptist announcing that Jesus is the Lamb of God and the Son of God. The next day, John again identifies Jesus as the Lamb of God. The names define who Jesus is to John. Lamb of God refers to the Passover lamb, that sign of God's deliverance and the means of deliverance. When the Israelites were slaves in Egypt, they killed a lamb and put some of the blood on the doorposts. The angel of death, seeing the sign on the doorpost, passed over the household, sparing those inside from judgment. The death of the lamb was essential for their life and the beginning of their journey to worship God. To the believer, Jesus is the sign of God's deliverance and the means of deliverance from sin and death. Jesus becomes for us the one who takes away the sin of the world. After recounting the events which had occurred at the baptism of Jesus, John then identifies him as the Son of God. This name may be difficult for some. Son of God speaks of Jesus' unique relationship with God, of the way his life revealed the very character of God, a God who reaches out to the lost, who reaches out to free and redeem, a God who confronts and judges hypocrites and those who oppress others. The Son of God speaks of Jesus' complete obedience unto death, death which triumphed over evil, breaking the bonds of fear, of sin, of ultimate annihilation and meaninglessness. This lesson features Andrew telling Simon, "We have found the Messiah, the Christ." Messiah in Aramaic and Christ in Greek means God's anointed one. David was anointed by Samuel to be king of Israel. But the prophets promised one to come who would be this perfect ruler who would save all of Israel. Jesus was anointed by God at his baptism and became the champion, the redeemer of the people. Jesus did not possess the power of armies, but the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of sacrificial love against all evil and of which death could not prevail. So he asked, how do we learn the name of things? How do we learn the value of people? Those of you who have had children or have worked with children know this process. A child very early begins a litany of pointing to someone or something with the question, what's that? The answer comes, a dog, a cat, mommy, daddy, a police officer. Later, experiences or stories or jokes, TV names and values, positive names, successful, winner, rich, strong, beautiful, but also some negative names, lazy, crazy, bad, wimp, dork, names of prejudice. Each name defining relationships with people. How do you and I, how do we define our relationships? What names do we give each other? How in the story did John the Baptizer or the disciples learn these names for Jesus? They learned through experience. They learned through relationship by being with him. John was with Jesus, of course, at his baptism and told others. Those others came to Jesus. Jesus invited them to come and see, to come and be with him, to judge for themselves. Interestingly, Jesus didn't say that they had to believe, did not lay out dogma and doctrine at first, just come and see, and of course, walk with me. There was expectation and excitement in the air. In the verses preceding our lesson, priests and Levites came to check out John the Baptist, asking if he were the Christ, if he were Elijah. Can you imagine this whole line of limos streaming down the street with officials, perhaps from Washington, to check out some local preacher? That would cause quite a stir, wouldn't it? Rumors would fly, the community would be aroused. This was the situation with John the Baptist, the first prophet in hundreds of years, one who spoke against the ruler, one who called people to prepare for the coming Messiah. There were stories of miraculous births, signs and omens, an unsettled time, a time of turmoil with this hated occupying force, Rome. In the midst of all of this was the expectation that God was at work, that God would act, that God would speak. Well, today, in these uncertain times, do you and I, do we live with this kind of expectation? The expectation that God will act, that God will speak. If one would believe the media, believe the pictures of reality presented on the evening news or in our movies, we do not. Most times, God and clergy representing the church are conspicuous by their absence. If God is present, it is only in profanity. Yet in all the major medical centers, pastoral care is now an integral part of the healing team. Medical science is now reporting the importance of faith in the healing process. In rating candidates for surgery, faith is one of the criteria for being a better risk. This possibility of God speaking, of God acting, is left out of the images which impact our lives. God was for the past, not for now, people say. Maybe we could hear more if we expected to hear. Again, maybe we could hear more if we expected to hear. One of the most difficult or awkward things for many of us is talking to someone we don't know about our faith, about our experiences with God or the living Christ. However, the gospel lesson that I am struck by what those who encountered Jesus, what they did, they went, right? They went and told others. See, John announced it all coming to hear him. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him about Jesus. The first thing the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well did was tell others so that her whole village came to see Jesus. Jesus invites all of us to come and see. The first step is to share what we have experienced with those we know and love, those we care about, and those who care about us. However, many of us are reticent to talk about those times that we have felt or known the presence of Christ or of God. We are sometimes afraid, reluctant to share those times we know in our gut that God has spoken to us. Maybe we're afraid of being scoffed at or laughed at or not being understood. Thus, we deprive those the opportunity to hear our greatest possession, the affirmation of God being with us in a culture which is at best is uncomfortable with and at worst denies God's presence at all. In the lesson, they couldn't contain themselves. They had to share this wonderful gift, this miracle that God was with them, that God was alive, that God was acting, that God was speaking. But maybe you want to believe, yet have not heard Jesus' call. Maybe you want to believe, yet are uncertain. When John Wesley was struggling with wanting to believe, yet not having experienced an assurance of faith, he was advised to live it and preach it until he had it. Live it and preach it until he had it. George MacDonald has similar advice. He says, get up and do something the Master or Jesus tells you. Go make yourself a disciple at once. Instead of asking whether you believe or not, ask yourself whether you have this day done one thing because he said, do it. It's simply absurd to say you believe or even want to believe in him if you do not do anything that he tells you. But you begin at once to be a disciple of the living one by obeying him in the very first thing you can think of in which you are not obeying him. We must learn to obey Christ and God in everything, and so we must begin somewhere. Let it be at once. MacDonald invites us to come and see, to come and experience what life with Christ can be. Will you come? Will you see? Will you be a disciple of Christ? To follow Jesus into the kingdom of life, we should realize, does not happen without any growing pains on our part. It takes a self-giving consecration in which God often has to turn our whole thinking and judging upside down. What I'm talking about is a drastic unlearning, nothing less than the assimilation of human life into the life of the kingdom. This the disciples never fully understood until they tasted the power of the risen Christ, until they saw in his cross all that is needed to deliver us from our own self-made burdens and those placed on us by others, until they saw the freedom of a responsive faith. Let us pray. Oh Lord, help us to know the value of being yours, individually as well as corporately in the body of Christ. Teach us that you require of us more than a statement of belief, of a relationship, of a walk pleasing to your sight, and a responsiveness that becomes contagious among your family of believers. Help us, O God, to come and see what you offer in Him and by your Holy Spirit. Let all the people say,